All right, welcome everybody to the call on Ayurveda and the moon cycles. And I was just saying to my friend Rachel, I really enjoyed gathering together all the information on this topic and how much it excites me, like how much it is like truly so enriching to be synced up and in alignment with the cycle of the moon and be that much more in touch with the lunar feminine nature, and just how truly powerful, like empowering and life enriching this connection is and this way of life is. And so much of it is truly just to me is like a remembering of our innate feminine wisdom and accessing the feminine wisdom through our lifestyle practices and our self-care and just kind of like that using the power of our awareness of how we are influenced by our internal cycle and the external cycle of the moon. And just like stepping more into that power and that alignment to serve us greater and greater. So it's not just about, I mean, part of it is reducing the difficulties around the moon cycle predominantly just before menstruation or during menstruation. That's a huge part of it. But another big part of it too then is like beyond that is just enriching and enhancing your life and then tapping more into the kind of the different energies available to you during this cycle. So I just really had a great time digging more into this topic and like presenting, getting this together for you. A little introduction. My name is Anna Welly and I'm an Ayurveda practitioner. I also work in like energy healing through Reiki, and then I also actually was in a mystery school called Priestesses of the Moon, so I've been initiated as a Priestess of the Moon, and it's the first time I've, like, ever shared that, I think, with anyone, as far as it being kind of, like, related to this kind of sharing this in a professional way through my service and offerings in my business. So I'm excited to tap into that, what I've learned and been living into as well from the Priestesses of the Moon course. My Ayurveda training is both in from a clinical standpoint through Kerala Academy, which is based out of a hospital clinic system and university in Kerala, India. So I both kind of had the experience of doing more of a clinical kind of formalized disease-based care training in school. And then also now I'm working as a mentor in the Living Ayurveda course with Kate Stillman at yogahealer.com, and which is a more of an evolutionary, kind of like revolutionary, very modern Western approach to Ayurveda. And that Ayurveda school is called Living Ayurveda. And if you're interested in going really deep into this work, it's an amazing 9-month program online with just into the depths of how we live into Ayurveda. So those two, along with the kind of Priestess of the Moon stuff and then my own kind of intake of my own self-inquiry and just kind of study of Ayurveda is what is given to you in these free calls and then also in my service and offerings through my my 10-week online course that I do called Soul Body Bliss. And then also I do Ayurveda consultations one-on-one over the phone, online, or in person if you're in the Bay Area. So that's me in a very brief nutshell. And, yeah, to drop into this topic on our moon cycles, what I want to kind of do is, for one, this call is about building and strengthening your awareness and that kind of being one of the first and foremost, like, fundamental keys into accessing your knowledge and your heightened intelligence with your relationship to the moon, both inside and outside your body. And so it's strengthening awareness to each phase of your cycle, not just to alleviate the pain or challenges that arise when you're maybe like bleeding during the new moon or feeling irritable during the full moon, but to really harness and flow with these really great powers available during each and every phase of your cycle. And then having a greater awareness to each phase helps you attune to your current state and align with a greater intelligence to those unique energies depending on the phase. And when you're in alignment with your cycle, you're in your power. You're living more from your center, and you're tapped into all the variable aspects of your feminine nature to harness and enhance these qualities and attributes. And so it's kind of like, if you think of it as like the lunar nature is also our water nature. And as a feminine aspect that we live, we have more of a water body, or just feminine nature in general is more of a lunar kind of water quality, whereas masculine nature is more solar sun quality. And so when we're living more in this lunar nature, we're more in flow with the tides or with the river. And so when you're in flow, you're just rolling along and like floating along in this river, maybe through some rapids, maybe over a waterfall, whatever kind of, you're just kind of synced in with the way the water is moving, rather than trying to travel across it or even against it or trying to like travel upstream. Instead, you're in sync and you're harnessed into the way that this powerful water is flowing and moving. And that's part of what I really want to try to get across in this call, how we can do that through each and every phase as the flow just continues on in this kind of spiral Shakti dance in nature. So living in the rhythms, it's different. The feminine lifestyle, it's different than the standard way of living in our modern society. So this modern society now is tapped into more of this solar rhythm, and it's very linear, it's very direct, it's very much more of like the waxing moon power. And when we embrace this feminine knowledge and lifestyle of the lunar nature, it's familiarizing itself with the four stages of the moon, and then it's heightening your awareness of your inner states of being, and noticing how you feel during each phase every day and what you need to change or what is really serving you, and acknowledging that and enhancing that. And then lastly is aligning yourself to take action to live more accordingly with each phase, to deepen your embodiment of the moon's mysteries, to live with the greater well-being 28 days, every cycle, 13 cycles around the sun. And so you can take this information, if you aren't menstruating, if there's any males on this call, or if you're past that phase of your life and you've transitioned into your crone phase, if you're pregnant or postpartum, or if you're even just taking the birth control pill and you're not truly menstruating, then you can focus your alignment more on the lunar body herself, on Grandmother Moon, and specifically linking up with her cycle as it's just rotating in like the cosmic sense. And if you are menstruating, then you will first and foremost attune to your own inner cycle, which may not be matched up to the outer cycle. So if you're menstruating, you do your own cycle first, and that being your main kind of putting your main attention or focus awareness on that, and then secondly on the celestial lunar cycle as the second part of it, but attuning to yourself first. So we're going to start with the waxing phase, which is considered as named as the maiden moon. And this moon is essentially represents springtime, which is also the Kapha dosha. And it's your body is in your pre-ovulation phase during the waxing moon. So you had just basically had your menstruation if you're bleeding, and you just released the lining of your uterus. And so you've finished menstruating, and now you're flowing into the waxing moon, and your attention is externally focused. You're more outwardly focused on the world and what's happening. You're more actively engaged in what's going on in the outer world. So your attributes, you have more mental alertness. You basically just reduced a lot of physical weight, and so you have a lot of lightness in your body, and more of your energy is in your head. So you're more analytical. You're more kind of dynamic. You have more enthusiasm. You're more driven and motivated with a lot of more determinants. And you also feel more carefree or alive. You have kind of in a more of like a playful, fun state, with more clarity and exuberance, and you're very independent. You feel really strongly driven. So physically, as I said, you let go of the lining of your uterus. And so in that sense, you're just very more light. And you're just like more physically kind of, you've been emptied. So you're starting really fresh and you're more physically reborn. You're just like a new start to the cycle. And your body feels more light and more energized and you're more intellectually heightened. So it's just like at springtime. It's like we're just like bouncing into like the next season. It's like everything is kind of fresh and alive and feels like sweet and playful and there's more excitement. And you're just, like, inspired and more enthusiastic. Emotionally, there's less emotional connection, and there's just more of that mental focus and more feelings of that kind of joyousness. So it's not so much of a deep phase. We're not as deeply connected to our emotional states of being, and instead we're more driven and determined and confident, and we feel more free and up for kind of playing and just having fun. So this moon essentially is kind of the, like, the MO of modern society, of, like, the way we're just kind of more naturally driven, that we're kind of more determined to, like, succeed and go after goals and strive for accomplishments, that we kind of, like, maintain the status quo of, like, you know, like, work Monday through Friday, 9 to 5, no matter what, and then play on the weekends, and that's kind of, like, which is like the standard setting for society in kind of like more of a masculine way. And it's more, this waxing moon is more of a time to initiate new projects and goals and be in that space of like mental productivity, of checking things off your to-do list, of organizing things, of being like a multitasker, of getting things done, being more engaged in social activity, and scheduling business meetings or, like, any kind of professional things you want to get done and being, like, really tapped into that energy. This is the ultimate time. And so also because of its organizing and, like, really kind of setting out your goals and, like, perceiving of what you want to happen for essentially the week to come but also the month to come and maybe even 6 months down the road or throughout the year, it's a really nice time to, like, get out your calendars and plan things out for yourself for your future. And so in relation to getting in touch with these lunar cycles, during your waxing moon is the best time to figure out when you are bleeding or menstruating, like when your dark moon is, and then also when your love moon is, your full moon is, and putting that into your calendar. And if you're not bleeding, then you could just acknowledge when the moon is new or dark and full, and even waxing and waning if you want to get even that much more synced up with it. And putting that into your calendar and taking that step to assist yourself in living in accordance and planning your life out really on how to be really in alignment and really attuned to this changing cycle. So, like, for myself, I figure out when I'm going to be bleeding and menstruating, and I put that out on my calendar, and I block 2 days off, the day before and the day of that I bleed, to not even take any sort of, I don't take any clients those days. I don't schedule anything outside of what I might want to do for those 2 days to kind of, like, really honor and set aside that time for myself. And then when I schedule in where the full moon is in my body when I'll be ovulating, then I know that those are the best times for me to, you know, socialize. I usually like to go, like, out dancing, like, the night around my ovulation or my full moon, celebrating, like, having fun. And you can, when you plan for it, then you're that much more actionable to take steps to be in this this synced up harmony. So waxing moon is the best time to bust out your calendar and kind of like make it happen, so to say. The symbols for the waxing moon include the fire spark, light, lion, bull, a warrioress, the maiden, kind of like free and light, independent and alluring, goddess Artemis, Huntress or Goddess Bass. And Goddess Artemis is like this kind of, she's like the warrior, and it's like her realm is in the wilderness and untamed kind of wild things. And she's super fiercely individualistic and very independent. And she kind of is like an initiation of young girls as well. So she's like the symbol of female independence and kind of as like the huntress. It's like she's out there like chasing things down and like getting things done or like going after her prize. And so that's kind of, she is really like the symbolic representation of like what's going on for us during this time. As far as balancing tips for how to kind of assist yourself, especially during this time, that support us not only during the waxing phase, but by attuning to the energy and the powers of the waxing moon and really aligning ourselves or acknowledging what's available to us at this time assists us during the waxing phase and then during all of the phases, which includes during the dark moon phase and menstruation. So ways to balance and kind of harness the energy. If you have high vata, and vata relates more towards when vata is unbalanced, there's more like insomnia, anxiety, feelings of exhaustion, nervousness, having aches and pains or cramping during the menstruation, feelings of like being fragile or weak or having low self-esteem. If that comes up for you, then it's important during the waxing time to really not push too hard and stay really grounded. And vata really needs the feelings of groundedness and staying in the body and staying kind of stable and deeply rooted into the earth. And waxing can kind of pull you up too high into your head. And we want to make sure that instead you're feeling stable, nourished, and connected into the ground. So ways to do that is to make sure you have a schedule and a lot of regularity in your day-to-day life. And schedule and regularity and that structure really grounds vata and, like, pulls you just deeper into that kind of physicality of life and rather than being caught in your head or kind of carried away. So going having a daily routine and also going to sleep early at the same time every day is, like, really important during this time. For high pitta, and pitta is the dosha of fire and water. So when pitta gets too high, you might become overly ambitious, and you might feel controlling, irritable, angry. You might be more critical of others or critical of yourself. When your pitta is out of balance, there's like acne or breakouts or just rashes on the skin. And during menstruation, high pitta is like really intense and heavy bleeding, which also can be bright red or just like a really heavy, heavy flow. And the pitta also tends to crave, like, spicy foods or salty foods. So if you have high pitta, during the waxing moon phase, it's especially good to remind yourself to really just enjoy the process of life and let go of being overly attached to end results or being overly attached to your goals or projects and kind of let go and soften into the present moment and take enjoyment out of the into the rhythm of, like, how life is just kind of, you know, meant to be fun and enjoyed from day to day. It's also good for pitta to reduce caffeine, coffee, black tea, all kind of stimulants, and including cacao or too much black chocolate, and also to reduce or avoid drinking any alcohol, which those things really heat and fire up the blood and fire up the body and fire up the emotions. It's good for pitta to also schedule in time for fun or rest and relaxation or even just taking vacations. And so, again, we're, like, tapping into our desire to plan and schedule and, like, get things done during this waxing phase. So plan in time for relaxation, like, plan a vacation, plan some, like, chill evenings or, you know, plan ways to help prevent yourself from overworking and burning out. And doing nadi shodhana pranayama is a really nice practice for pitta as well, and that's just an alternate nostril breathing practice. For people with high kapha, And kapha is the doshic energy of earth and water. And so when kapha gets unbalanced, there can be excess weight or just heavy weight gain. There can be a lot of water retention or edema. There can be bloating, excess phlegm or mucus. Kapha can tend to feel more depressed, more lethargic or low energy, also sad and lonely, whereas like vata feels nervous and worried and scared. Kapha tends to kind of feel more low energy, isolated, that kind of feeling. They can be more moody, and bleeding time, it tends to be darker. It can even be more brownish and have mucus in the blood. And then bleeding is usually heavier, especially towards the end of the phase. And feelings of nauseousness or just lack of appetite can be some signs of high kapha. So during this waxing moon time, it's good for kaphas to really exercise, and especially doing cardio. Cardio is awesome for the waxing moon for kapha, and just like making yourself sweat. And making yourself sweat is like cleansing out the channels, cleansing out the excess water, the mucus, like things that like the earth and the water that's getting built up in your system, and sweating it out and like creating fire in your body through activity to kind of burn those things off and release and create spaciousness and lightness. It's also good to harness the extra energy that's available during the waxing moon to get things done for the month ahead. So kind of planning things out for yourself that are going to be in like your highest good to feel lighter and more energetic, such as healthier and lighter meals that you want to have throughout the month or the week, and then also scheduling in time with friends or colleagues or just people in general, whatever, your partner, your family, that kind of stuff. Scheduling in time with them to make sure that you feel connected and then also feel, like, inspired or motivated by those people, and feeling a sense of, like, belongingness and cultivating more of that, like, lovingness feeling for yourself. All right, next we move into the full moon. So from waxing, the moon has been building into full. And I think most often this is the cycle of the moon that we feel most definitely activated by, but this is the one that gets most everyone's attention. Well, we're mostly living in the waxing phase, just as like a general default setting of society. Then full moon kind of like sparks our attention and our interest, and we feel like really lit up and pulled by her. And so this is a nice one to kind of acknowledge what's going on too for in our bodies and our minds and emotions. The full moon is also considered the lover moon or the mother moon. And it represents summertime, and that summer kind of energy or essence. And it also represents kapha and pitta dosha. And as far as the body, you're ovulating at this time, and your attention, again, is still externally focused. So the attributes of the full moon include you're more heart-centered. You're feeling very abundant and full. Like your body of water is being pulled, and it's just the fullness in water itself is happening, and then like also the fullness within your womb and your uterus is there. And so you're pregnant with possibilities. You're very open, engaging, you're compassionate, you feel very generous. You're overflowing, and so you're more giving. You want to be more of service to others. You want to be supportive. You want to be connected, intimate. You want to be nurturing in the mothering way, and you just feel really full and juicy and more exotic and erotic and more exuberant. And so you're in your, like, lover phase. So physically, you're essentially ovulating, which happens about 12 to 16 days after your cycle starts, from when your first day of your bleeding, And it's like we're most fertile for conception, and then also we're just kind of, our beauty is just radiating out. We're glowing. We're, like, hormonally, we're that much more ready and engaged to want to make love and want to procreate, and so we feel more attracted to our partners or our love interests, and we are more attractive to them. So this is kind of like our sexy time, and it's like, oh, you feel like luscious and ripe. And even physically, the uterus, the cervix, changes throughout this cycle, obviously. And at this time, the base of the cervix is essentially blossoming down and out and open like a flower, wanting to be seen and also being receptive to a seed coming in to impregnate. And so, like, as just the organ of the tissue change, the tissues of the organ change in accordance with this cycle, and it's like we're flowering, we're blossoming in our yoni, in our uterus, and then we're blossoming outward with our hearts and with our bodies. So emotionally and spiritually, we're more open-hearted and creatively driven. We're attuned and we're like yearning for intimate connections with love and tenderness. We're very empathetic and ready to listen, and we want to give support and guidance and also receive support and guidance. We're kind of in that flow. And we're more into this deep emotional strength of compassion and patience and acceptance. And we also have this kind of natural ability to want to give and share our abundance. This is the best time to really have more heart-to-heart connections and to reach out to others and kind of cultivate and nurture our friendships, or like plan a special date, or go out and party or celebrate or host a party. If you are a healer, this is the time when you're most in alignment with being in a place to really deeply support others and then be of service to others. So this is a time more where you want to have your schedule open and centered around connecting with clients or anyone that you want to be of service or being more of a caring, giving role for. It's also a time for celebrating and doing more of this kind of like creative activities, such as painting, singing, making music, dancing, decorating, and just kind of like being very fully engaged in life is a nice way to see it. Being in ceremony, being in ritual. The symbols of the full moon include fruit, roses, sustenance, nourishment, love, strength, the cow and the bee, or milk and honey, wisdom, the openness of the womb and radiation, goddesses Venus, Aphrodite, Mary Magdalene, and Lilith. And it's also kind of like the earthiness and very fertile soil. And this, the full moon is definitely the time to charge up your crystals and set your crystals or your gemstones out, preferably in a clear bowl or vase of water with a little bit of salt, or just laying your crystals out in the garden to take in the energy from the moon and reactivate and realign through the earth and the moon. As far as balancing tips and ways to kind of harness the energy, for high vata, this is the time to access more into the physical strength available to you and to really strengthen your physical body. Vata is of air and spaciousness, and so vata can be on the thinner side and a little bit more kind of like weaker or fragile, or just a little bit more is lacking on the physical strength, as opposed to kapha. So this is the time to do more weightlifting, toning exercises, doing kind of like more endurance training, and like really getting into like the physical capabilities of your body and building that up. And then also to really deeply moisturize the body and nourish the tissues of the body and the nervous system. So vata tends towards dryness, which can contribute to cramping and a scanty or low menstrual flow. And so to counteract that, now when the water body is full, you want to really sync up with that and harness it to as much as you can. And so you want to be staying hydrated, drinking lots of water, and eating more liquid foods, like practicing having like maybe soups at night. And also the nourishment of really taking in quality oils and fats. And you can do that by doing Abhyanga, the self-massage, and rubbing oil on your skin every night. and getting like more deeper into that during the full moon and really feeling into your physical body. And then even eating more foods with oil and ghee and those high quality fats. Vata is also very creative and likes to be the kind of the creator, the dancer, the singer, the artist. And so tapping into that too and like really channeling your energy and expression through like art, writing, dancing, poetry, you know, whatever it is for you, and really getting into that energy available. High Pitta during the full moon is really awesome to spend time volunteering and taking your time to schedule out a volunteering session once a month during the full moon to like really lend your heart and your high energy and your capabilities and service to others. It helps Pitta keep perspective in a healthy place and then just channel that motivation for a good cause and benefit for society overall. Pitta tends towards burnout and overdoing and overworking. So being in the full moon phase is also an awesome time to practice experiencing pleasure and finding ways that you can experience more pleasure for yourself. Pleasure that can essentially that comes from within and tapping into ways that you feel life is pleasurable and also then attuning or inquiring into what also gives you pleasure in your life and in the world and taking time aside for that for yourself and finding ways that like you can create more pleasure in life to make life more fun and easy and enjoyable. And that helps with the feelings of irritability and frustration and anger and moodiness and quick tempers. Pitta can also reach out to friends and offer support and love to others and share the surplus of energy and cultivate more heart-to-heart connections, which really helps balance the Pitta. Between other things like bathing in cool moonlight during the full moon, going out into the garden, walking a labyrinth, just leaning up against a tree or like laying in the grass or going next to water and being under the full moon rays is a really nice cooling practice for Pitta. High Kapha, it's really nice during the full moon to do more exercise and push yourself again physically through cardio workouts and also strength training. And again, this kind of just clears things out and helps to open the channels and lightens you up. Kapha also would really benefit off of doing cooking a nice meal for friends or family and just inviting loved ones into the house and like sharing in those Kapha qualities of like this like nurturing home and this like nurturing loving space and inviting others into that and creating that kind of like intimacy and sharing in the love and nurturance and that mother moon qualities. And Kapha also can practice deep listening skills and their easy ability to console and comfort people and be in a service in a loving and intimate way. And that really helps to brighten your own personal mood and outlook and foster more of these feelings of positive Kapha qualities. And giving gratitude and thanks and perhaps even starting like a gratitude journal or just tapping into this extra feeling of love and nurturance during the full moon. See, so next we move from the full. After ovulating, we are then rolling into the waning moon. And the waning moon is going from that full state now descending towards the darkness of the new moon. And the waning moon is known as the wild woman enchantress. And essentially, it's the fall time of the year and those energies where we're going from summer and dropping towards winter. And so we're kind of, we're getting ready to go and pull our energy inward, and we're becoming more internally focused. We've moved from the external world and waxing in full, and we're dropping and bringing our attention into ourselves and into our personal being. So we're also getting ready to menstruate. And so that energy that's changing is we're preparing ourselves for the big process of menstruating and releasing what's happening in our uterus, our blood, and our uterine lining. The priestess and moon attributes of the Wani moon include being very magical and mystical and mysterious. And part of that is being an enchantress. It's just very, it's powerful and witchy. It's more deep and psychic. It's you're going into your intuitive, kind of natural knowing ways of the wisdom you hold within yourself and what you're able to access through this kind of mysterious feminine power. It's more dark and dramatic, and it's a little bit more destructive. Physically, the progesterone is at its highest, and your physical strength is decreasing. So your stamina is reduced. We're not as able to exercise as fully or be as embraced in our physical world as before in the waxing and full. Instead, our body is getting ready to release during menstruation, and it's just pulling us into a quieter, more introspective space. So we're withdrawing from lots of physical activity, and we're withdrawing from excess intellect of being in our mental space. So we're getting more into kind of like a restful, quiet, kind of like primal body way. And so this is a shift from the lighter yang outward energy into this heavier yin inward nature. We're dropping more now into these feminine qualities. And so that's why this Wani moon is such a beautiful thing to embrace and really attune yourself to as part of this this feminine cycle and this feminine lifestyle. So we're allowing ourselves, we're creating space to drop into our intuitive awareness that's being heightened and our psychic abilities that are increasing. And so by bringing our attention into ourselves, we're accessing more into those powers of being with our intuition, being with our higher knowings, being with our emotions, and we're more vulnerable and raw, and we need to create more space to allow our emotions to be released and being more creative with the ways that we can move our emotions and let go of our kind of our energies that we aren't aligned to anymore, that we're ready to let go of. So if you're not creating space for this, there can be more friction in your life, and that's where more of the unwanted kind of like consistent emotions that can come up, where we feel frustrated or irritable or impatient or reactive about life. So instead of feeling the friction of what's going on, where we're not aligning with the outer world and we're frustrated with that, we're bringing our intention inward and we're finding out where we can be in greater alignment of our highest truth and take action to align with what we need to feel good at this time. This time is time for less productivity and more creativity. And we're just getting in touch with this deeper, darker aspects of ourselves. So we're getting more into this creative processes to channel the releasing energy in a very healthy way. And it's getting more into these art projects, dancing, writing, and not being focused on the final product, but just being focused on the experience of the release and how we're channeling this this moving energy. So we can really objectively look at what's not serving or working in our life and taking the time to see things we need to shift and consciously release so that we don't take it into the next cycle, which is huge. It's also a good time to take more naps and have more quiet time to yourself and not scheduling so many things, especially important business meetings, and not over scheduling yourself. It's also a really good time to kind of clear and clean house and just to let go of things in general that aren't serving you as we start to step into the next cycle. The symbols of the Wani moon include the owl, the dragon, the serpent, the wolf, goddesses Kali, Hecate, and Persephone. And it's more of this kind of inner world, shadows, seductress, enchantress, underworld, going into descent and destruction. And let's see, as far as Persephone, it's kind of, Persephone is known as like the goddess of the underworld, and she like personifies that as like this the cycles of nature, but also like when she goes underground, it's like nothing is blooming. She's in the depths of the underworld and how there's kind of like that like stillness around, and she's like dropped into her internal inward kind of like yin focused space. And so she's the goddess of the soul, and in this darkness of the underworld, she also represents the kind of like unconscious part and like where the soul is formed. And so it's like she's also wisdom. And even if the darkness, it can be like revered as uncomfortableness, but through that embracing of the, being a goddess of the darkness, that she represents our ability to rule over our the aspects of ourselves that can otherwise be terrifying in the extreme. And so she's tapping into like this kind of power of like the darkness that we hold within ourselves in our feminine nature, and how we can be, we can create space for that, and we can acknowledge it and see it, and we can use that as a transformative power throughout our cycle, through our 28 days of seeing what we need to kind of transform, release, tap into, to create change and transformation. So as far as balancing tips or ways to harness the energy for the doshas, and these can go for all doshas. It's not necessarily just for one or the other or for what your specific prakriti is, but it's across the board, but more specifically for what ways you can balance yourself. But the waning moon is really just a time to slow down. It's just an imperative time to slow the pace, and it's differentiated from the waxing and the full moon. So when you slow down and turn inward, you're preventing yourself from being completely exhausted or depleted during the approaching new moon and then the whole new cycle to come. So it's really attuning to the ability to slow down and taking the attention and the energy shifted into an inward focus and really on self-care and self-nurturance are super important for Vata. One really nice practice that you can do for Vata or for all doshas is to create a moon time basket. And the moon time basket is just like an act of self-care and of ritual. And during the, towards like the end of the, you can put it together during the waning moon and put it out each cycle just before you go into the dark moon. Also as a reminder that you're a ritualistic practice. That reminds you to shift into this slower pace, this more kind of careful, nurturing pace. And so a moon time basket can just be a gathering of things that help you feel cared for, of any sort of belongings that would support you on your inward journey, especially during menstruation. And so for myself, my moon basket includes, I like to use rose essential oil, which really helps to soothe and calm me, especially like my high pitta, and then geranium oil, which is really nice to keep the heart open, which we can sometimes get closed off when we're not feeling our best selves. And I like to have a crystal that I use specifically that works to help alleviate pain just from like tightness in my hips and cramping. I have an Eckhart Tolle book that has really nice inspirational quotes that helps me feel more spacious and just connected into my spirit. And a red pen that I use to journal with during the wanting to earth into the dark moon, so that when I look back at my journal, I can see which messages are a little bit just more intuitive and come from more of a raw emotional place, or messages that might be a little bit more powerful for me as my journaling exercises to reflect on. And then I like to have a coconut water, a protein bar, and a little bit of chocolate in my moon basket. And it's really nice. It just feels like when you're in a place of like you're a little bit more weaker energy, you feel a bit more vulnerable or like kind of exposed, and it's like you have like everything to help you care for yourself and feel cared for and nurtured like right at your fingertips. If you have high pitta during the waning moon, it's a really nice time. It's a really powerful time for getting in touch with your emotions and creating space for yourself, creating space and time to really feel your emotions and support the process of moving them through you. And that can be done just through being with them and feeling them, and from coming to a point of awareness and allowing emotions to be channeled. And also it can be journaling, art, taking time alone, having a quiet reflection time in nature, seeking counseling, practicing music, all of those types of things. And getting more clear on what causes the emotion, especially the irritability, the frustration, the anger, judgment, etc. And seeing how your life potentially is not in alignment with your highest truth, and acknowledging these things that need to be changed, that you can release in the dark moon that's approaching, and then take action for changing in the waxing moon phase to come. And so kind of finding, like, taking this time when you're more accessible into your emotional nature, and also still in that place of clarity to realign your life towards your higher nature and your higher good, to find the messages that your emotions are wanting to reveal to you about how you can be more in your divinity. The waning moon is also important for Pittas and everyone to get more rest and to not overdo or push too hard. Pitta tends to really overwork and be an overachiever. So having time for relaxation and especially kind of like fun or enjoyment practices in the evenings is really important. And then eating more cooling and sweet foods, such as more of the summer vegetables, the root veggies, squashes, zucchinis, more greens, a lot of leafy greens, especially like spinaches, romaines, dandelions, are really good for cooling the pitta, cooling the blood, cooling the emotions and the temperament. And whole grains are good for pitta as well. And then avoiding spicy, sour, and salty foods. And if your pitta is really heavy and your PMS or your menstruation feels really out of balance with these mood swings and irritability, or a lot of like high blood, hot red blood, or a lot of heavy bleeding, then in the waning moon phase, you might want to do just a little cleanse as you approach towards the dark moon, and just do like 3 days of like green smoothies, or like 3 days of like more salads and just fresh fruit. And that helps flush out the heat of your body, the heat of your emotions, and prepare you to have a more gentle and easy menstruation. For Kapha, it's the best time to really clean and organize and just get rid of extra space in your home, your workspace, your car, and just clear out the energy. Just clear everything out and freshen up your living space. So you're cleaning things out, you're tidying up, you're opening the windows, you're burning your sage or Palo Santo or cedar, you're picking fresh flowers and bringing them into the home, and you're just like really brightening up your home space and clearing it out as a preparation of being in your home for this kind of more internal yin-focused nature. And Kapha especially, but as maybe as just like a generalization for the older practices of women, is that they tend to put other people's needs first. And so this can be an important time, an important practice to put your needs first and really direct your energy more into how you want to feel and how you want to be cared for first and foremost before being of care or service to other people. And then Kapha would also benefit from doing dry brushing and using a dry brush or those exfoliating gloves or something like that, and doing like a vigorous dry brush massage before you shower to move your lymphatic system and move your blood to combat the stagnation and the heaviness and kind of help cleanse things out. And Kapha, it's good to eat lighter foods and more cleansing foods, more kind of broth-y liquid soups that are water-based rather than cream-based. And doing more, Kapha can handle more spicy foods, especially doing like black pepper and ginger. And that helps move things and cleanse things out. Doing more lighter salads, having fruit or smoothies for breakfast, and staying away from the heaviness, including dairy, sweets, processed foods, excess proteins, too many grains. It's really nice for Kapha to do that, especially leading up to menstruation. And then this, as well as similar to the Pitta, as far as getting in touch with emotions, but especially for Kapha, getting clear during the waning moon phase to see what you need to let go of in your life, to like break free from these kind of attachments or heavy things that weigh you down, old patterns, old habitual thought patterns, lifestyle patterns, relationship patterns, anything that are just kind of holding you back that's not serving your highest good. Now is the time to journal on that and get clear on that and go in into your intuitive space and see what you can release in the upcoming dark moon. So from that, from the waning moon, we move into the dark moon and into the new moon, the dreamer moon, she's called. And as far as the seasons, the dreamer moon is considered winter time. It's like hibernation, it's pulling inward, and it's the Vata dosha, it's heightened. And physically, this is when we're menstruating. And our energy, again, is more internally focused. It's even more deeper meant to be internally focused compared to the waning moon. And we're more this kind of this dark, this dreamer moon is very much in a dream-like state. We're very intuitive. We're very aware. Our awareness is super heightened. We're very sensitive. And in this sense of sensitivity, we're also that much more vulnerable. And our sensitivity is part of our power. And it's also something that at this time we want to protect and make sure that we're taking care of ourselves. Essentially, at this time, the veil between the soul and the human personality and the physical body is very much at its thinnest. So we're that much more able to access what our soul or our spirit is experiencing or giving to us and how we're living with that. And as opposed to the full moon, we sense full and heavy and rich in our bodies. Instead, now we're releasing that and we're letting go. And we're in this dark phase of being more spiritually attuned. And so we're very accessible to our embodied wisdom. We're very receptive and introspective. We're very much more aware and in this kind of place of synchronicity. And physically, this is a time where we really need to slow down and have a lot of personal space. It's time to kind of, like I said, is protect those sensitivities and in our vulnerabilities so that instead of having to protect ourselves by being more engaged in the outer world and being engaged, in our business, in our work life, in the outer life, and having to kind of combat against what's happening as in our sensitivities, instead we protect our energy and we pull inward and we have more time in our own personal space to heighten what is able to be received, these messages, and what kind of things can be revealed in our sensitivity, in our heightened awareness. And so we're attuning to that this nature is what's happening, and then we're that much more able to be empowered by what's going on during our menstruation. It's also a time where we feel heavy and very earthy, and the Vata energy is working really hard as moving the energy of the body from the pelvic region down and out. It's a prana vayu action of moving this uterine lining and all of the blood that wasn't used in fertility out of the body. And so it's a very taxing physical process. And so we become more tired through that. We might have more cramping or pains, water retentions, more of a swollen belly or swollen breasts. So emotionally and spiritually, we are just that much more psychically sensitive and aware. We're less mentally alert as opposed to the waxing moon, and we're just that much more attuned emotionally and more in our heart space and our deeper body space. And so we're wanting to be really deeply inward and just craving that solitude or that space of being alone or being with ourselves. And it's very much an unmeditative state, and it's very much of moving from this place of being with the soul compared to being in. And so we're very easily receptive to having more visions of the soul, more kind of attuned to, like, our higher self and our accessing our wisdom and our intuition and just being in a deeper place of realms beyond the physical and being more in attunement with things that we otherwise might not notice when we're caught up in the mental space of the waxing moon or the physical space of the love moon. So we can connect more to our guides, to our ancestors, to our animal totems, to our spirit console, to our higher self, to the angels, like kind of the angelic realms or whatever you kind of work with. We're that much more there to be with that during this time. And essentially what we want to do is really have some intentional alone time to slow down and be in this space. And you're not even protecting your, step one is protecting yourself against the kind of incoming energies or demands of the outer world, and then giving yourself the space and time to access these powers of being more meditative, more open to like the non-physical realms. We're slowing down and we're moving from a place of doing, and we're moving away from a place of action-oriented and a place of goals and motivation, and we're coming into a place of being and a place of just practicing in the art of being and being of rest and being open and being a vessel to receive. We're giving extra attention to messages and our dreams. We want to have time for extra sleep, rest and relaxation, taking baths or being in nature. We want to have room for creating art or journaling, doing meditation. And it's time to be like more comfortable and cozy, especially with your clothes and maybe special sacred jewelry or garments that you have reserved for moon time. And also doing moon time blood rituals if you're interested in that. The symbols for this dark moon are the owl, the serpent, vision, prophecy, oracle, it's potential, it's the darkness, the seed, the cave. It's the chalice or the holy grail. It's the womb, the abyss. It's the earth, the blood. It's red, dark moon, blood moon. It's renewal and release. It's the bear that goes into the cave. It's represented by goddesses Hecate and Hathor. It's wisdom, the woman of wisdom, the big belly goddess statues, the crone, our red tent, our moon lodge, our moon temple, and the Suri Yantra. And so this is a very powerful time to drop into this inward space and the space of being in rest and going into aligning yourself into the magic and the mystery that is revealed to you in this this sacred time of bleeding. And one way I like to look at it is that the womb is a place a soul becomes a human. And so it's where spirit becomes matter within our bodies. It's just to like acknowledge that and like contemplate that for a little bit is just mind-blowing to me. You know, spirit becomes matter within our uterus. And so when our uterus is activated like that, when the channel is open and flowing and blood is flowing out of the uterus, we're that much more, our portal is open and our portal is activated and flowing out. And we're also, we're mourning, we're kind of, not necessarily mourning, we can be mourning, but we're in that process that it's a death of the life that did not happen as well. So it's a death of a life that didn't happen through impregnation, but it's also a death to anything in your world, in your life, in your mind, body, emotion, physical body, in your blood. You know, even what needs to be rid of your body in the blood is released and let. And so it's a deep process of moving things out, and through that, it's also that that openness for kind of the potentiality of what can be pulled in. And that's the empty chalice. That's the holy grail. It's like we're emptying our space and our portal and then we're creating receptivity for what's new and the renewal. So as far as all the doshas, it's just an essential time to slow down, take rest, and practice that art of being and practice not doing. And one of the most beautiful ways that I think this can be done is through creating a moon lodge. And a moon lodge is essentially, it's a little bit different than the red tent. A red tent is more of a place for women to come together in ritual during any time of their cycle. But the moon lodge is what's done specifically during your dark moon phase. And it can be done, it's more likely done alone, in isolation. It can be done in the past in history was women did bleed together when they were more, we were more connected in these integrated tribal ways versus now where we're kind of, we live more in our kind of like isolated homes, you could say, and we're not so much, we're not all attuned to the actual lunar nature. So we bleed alone more often, and we can create our moon lodge alone in a time of space of just creating a sacred ritual for this bleeding time. So to create the moon lodge, basically what you want to do is you can prepare during the waning moon, and you're basically clearing out your space. If it's in your home, it's probably the best place, I think, is to do it in your bedroom. You can also have a moon lodge outside in nature, in a tent or a yurt or something like that. And it's creating this kind of a sacred container for your release, and for in this container you're strengthening your ability to access this kind of space of spirit and openness, of release and emptiness, and going into this meditative place. And so the stronger the container that you create, basically, the more able you are to be in attunement with the powers of this mystery of the blood moon, of your bleeding, and of the darkness. And that's to me a part of what's so beautiful is, like, if we're not necessarily too trapped up in, like, the pains of menstruation, we just can really get into the beauty and the power of what menstruation offers us. And, it makes me emotional just thinking about it now of, like, how much my journey has changed through really tapping into these old ways of remembering our cycle and being in alignment with this lunar nature of how freaking beautiful menstruation really is, and how it's so important to really protect that space for yourself, to be a part of it in its healing, mystical ways. So back to the lodge, what you're doing is basically creating a space for yourself, and that could include clearing out your room, you know, cleaning it out, just freshening it up, burning your sage, Palo Santo, cedar, whatever it is that kind of clears the energy from the room. And then you might want to hang up, if you have a workspace or a desk or a TV or computer in your room, you might want to throw a sheet over that and cover that up. And you can put more kind of like saris or beautiful fabrics up, and kind of create a more of like a womb-like space atmosphere. And you can bring in candles, incense, your essential oil diffusers like rose petals or any kind of herbs you're working with, even just some like lavender, fresh flowers maybe, and just kind of most essentially setting the intention that this is a space for you and that this is a container for you to be with, to feel protected from incoming energies that you're more vulnerable and sensitive to. And instead you're protected from that, and so you're more able to be with the energy that's coming up and creating the time and space and the power to allow things to be revealed and exposed in this this world of nothingness. And so the more space that you create for yourself, even time-wise, the more that you're able to access and see and witness and also release. And it's just, you know, a really beautiful thing. So this, I mean, the Moon Lodge might be one day for you. It might be one hour. It might even just be like 15 minutes if like that's all your life can afford. But I just invite you to try it as this kind of this beautiful, ancient, like kind of holy feminine way of being with our lunar cycle. And then lastly, you can try doing also a blood ritual, which could just simply be pouring your blood back into the earth and offering it back to Mother Goddess Gaia. In for me, I like to do it as a symbol of my gratitude and thankfulness for the never-ending support and nurturance and care that she gives to us. And so giving your lifeblood to Gaia. And the way to do that is to just collect your blood. You can use a moontime cup if you want to use a diva cup or something like that. If you use a tampon or a reusable pad, you can soak one of those in a jar of water just for the day or overnight. If it's longer than a day, then you'd want to put it, cover the jar with a lid and put it in the fridge. But otherwise, after you collect the blood, preferably the blood from the middle part of your cycle, that's the most kind of vital and fresh and powerful. And then when you're ready, you can go outside to a special place in your garden and, do whatever feels good to you as part of a ritual or prayer and give it back to the earth. Or you can also pour it into your house plants or feed it to any sort of like feminine herbs that you're growing. And yeah, there's more to go on, but I guess I've been talking for quite a while, so I'm gonna close the discussion out with that, and just kind of to be in reverence towards what it is that's available to us during this like beautiful cycle, and really accessing all the different aspects of our feminine nature and all of the inherent kind of power that lies with each different phase and each different expression of who we are throughout all of the phases, both the more external and kind of like solar or masculine ways of the waxing moon, or being more embodied in our fullness of the lover or mother in the full moon and times of celebration and service and giving and intimate connection. And also pulling into the powers of the waning moon of the enchantress, of going into the dark world and slowing down and bringing your energy back into yourself and back into the powers of what holds within yourself and what needs to be examined and sat with, and then dropping into the menstruation in like the best way. And that essentially, I think, is what I have to share with all of you. So now I'd just like to open the call up if you guys have any questions or comments. If you want to press 5-star, that will show me that you're raising your hand. If there's something that you would like kind of more insight on or whatever you want to bring to the conversation. Okay, I see a question from number 415-282-8983. So your name is, your line is unmuted. Can you introduce yourself, please?
Yes. Hi, Anna. This is Judy Orloff. And
Judy.
Hi, Anna. I was here only for about the last, I got here, we were talking about Pitta's emotional, I guess it was on the waxing, the waning moon and Pitta.
Uh-huh.
So, but I was busy. I taught this morning, and then I had things to do, and I came in, and your call was beautiful, and I feel already in a different place from having just taken in. I still have my jacket on, and it's hot, but I didn't want to miss anything, and I'm so appreciative. I'm not still menstruating. I'm beyond that in age, but I just loved this call and what you offered to us, and I can't wait for the replay so I can hear what I missed. So I wanted to
thank you
for this.
Oh, good. Thanks, Judy. I'm really glad you're here. That's
nice. Thank you. Okay, now I don't know what to do, but you can go on to the next. Thank you with gratitude. Okay.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad you could be here. Yeah, and if any questions come up, you can just send me a message or post it on the group page.
Okay, I will. Thanks.
Thanks, Judy. Let's see. Does anyone else have a question? We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, We have about 10 people on the call. And, yeah, if you don't have a question now, you can still post on a Facebook event page. Because essentially, too, usually, like, our questions that one person has could be the questions for everyone that we can gain from. And so if anything comes up later, and also to those that might listen to the recording, if you have anything you'd like further clarity on or anything specifically that you'd like addressed, just let me know. And for people who are really struggling with their menstrual cycle or just with specific health issues that are more complex that keep coming up, then I would really invite you to schedule a strategy session with me. And a strategy session is essentially just like 30 minutes where I just ask you a bunch of questions about what's going on for your health. And then I talk about some of the different programs or like services that I can offer you. And for other people that really enjoy this conversation and just kind of just getting into the ways that we live Ayurveda in the modern world, then also I invite you to check out my Soul Body Breath program, Soul Body Bliss. And so it's a 10-week program where we like just really drop into the ways we live Ayurveda day to day in like a really awesome, really modern way. And also it supports your way that you change your habits to embrace and embody the Ayurvedic wisdom. So it's more than just information. It's like figuring out how to actually live it and getting support in the process of making changes to live the Ayurveda way. And if you're interested in that, again, just schedule a strategy session. And I would love to connect with you. Wonderful. So thanks, everyone, for being here. I'm really, really happy that I get to share this with you and for your place of being here as receiving this talk is so, I'm so grateful for, and it's such an important aspect of for what I get to give to you. It's your place and your importance of your position of being here is of great importance. And so I appreciate you all so much for listening and engaging in this conversation. Let me know what else you'd like to hear or topics you'd like to cover. So thank you all so much. And so thanks, ladies. I hope you have a beautiful day and happy full moon in Virgo. Goodbye.